From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans as he brings the next portion of a message called The Purpose of Grace and a Passion for Souls. The text for this message is in chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, in which Paul reveals his heart for his fellow Jews. As Dr. Cairns demonstrates, Paul's view of salvation as found in the Old Testament applies to both Jews and Gentiles. All are saved in the same way. Paul states a truth that is common to both Testaments, that salvation is all of God. Dr. Cairns will show the fallacy of the popular notion that God does his part and man must do his part in order to be saved. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You have seen the arch of heaven as it spans the plain. Glorious are its colors, and rare its hues. It is beautiful, but alas, it passes away, and lo, it is not. The fair colors give way to the fleecy clouds, and the sky is no longer brilliant with the tints of heaven. It is not established. How can it be? A glorious show made up of transitory sunbeams and passing raindrops, how can it abide? The graces of the Christian character must not resemble the rainbow in its transitory beauty, but on the contrary, must be established, settled, abiding. Seek, O believer, that every good thing you have may be an abiding thing. May your character not be a writing upon the sand, but an inscription upon the rock. May your faith be no baseless fabric of a vision, but may it be builded of material able to endure that awful fire which shall consume the wood, hay, and stubble of the hypocrite. May you be rooted and grounded in love. May your convictions be deep, your love real, your desires earnest. May your whole life be so settled and established that all the blasts of hell and all the storms of earth shall never be able to remove you. But notice how this blessing of being established in the faith is gained. The apostle's words point us to suffering as the means employed. After that ye have suffered a while. It is of no use to hope that we shall be well rooted if no rough winds pass over us. Those old gnarlings on the root of the oak tree, and those strange twistings of the branches, all tell of the many storms that have swept over it. And they are also indicators of the depth into which the roots have forced their way. So the Christian is made strong and firmly rooted by all the trials and storms of life. Shrink not, then, from the tempestuous winds of trial, but take comfort, believing that by their rough discipline, God is fulfilling this benediction to you.
Tears are mending flow.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
I believe in predestination? Yes, I do. Why? Because the Bible teaches it. Why do I believe in the Trinity? Can I explain the Trinity? No, I can't. The Jehovah's Witnesses say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. They say that's blasphemy. It's not only blasphemy, it's very poor math. But you see, the Jehovah's Witnesses are heretics. They're the devil's liars, not Jehovah's Witnesses. And if you want to talk in theological terms, the old theologians like to describe the essence of God, the Holy Trinity, as being the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit being of the same numerical essence. Not going to get into the meaning of that tonight. To be quite honest, I don't think I could. I don't think anybody knows what that means. But 1 + 1 + 1 mean 3. All right? But one by one by one is one. And you see, here's the biblical teaching of the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one in essence. And there is what the Bible teaches and what theologians call the mutual indwelling. What I like to term the interpenetration of the persons of the Trinity. Do I understand that? Not at all. Do I believe it? Yes, I do. And if you don't believe it, you'll be damned without it. For there are no Unitarians in heaven. Understand that. Similarly with predestination. Do I believe it? Yes, I do. Why? Because the Bible teaches it. And when the Bible says it, I'm happy to say it's right. Not because I understand it, but because the Bible says it is right. But having said all that, there are a lot of people who come to this on both sides, Calvinists and Arminians. Then, of course, you've that strange theological breed that fool themselves by saying, I'm not Calvinist, I'm not Arminian, I'm just a Bible theologian. Don't kid yourself. You are the most prejudiced of all. Don't kid yourself. That's usually a cover-up for down-the-line Arminianism. But we're not going to get into that. I'm not being controversial tonight. Not at all. I don't like controversy. But here's where both sides make their mistake. They take this subject of God's sovereign purpose as a subject in its own right. And they start to study it like that. And that is something the Bible never does. And that is something that Paul is not willing to do here in the book of Romans. That's why I said at the beginning, the great subject of Romans 9 is not predestination and election. Oh, he's dealing with predestination and election, but only within the context of something much vaster. Paul is relating it to the gospel. You see, for Paul, this gospel of justifying grace and imputed righteousness, the merits of Christ made over to the people of God, received by faith alone, that is the heart of the gospel revelation. That's everything to Paul. And so he is discussing that, and he's justifying God's actions in applying that. And in so doing, he deals with predestination and election. You see, Paul's not interested in a philosophical discussion. And as you'll see as we go down the 9th chapter, Paul isn't even interested in trying to reconcile the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of the creature. And something more, and this is something that many Calvinists choke on, and they get it all wrong, and they become hyper, and get away from their moorings. Paul isn't even at pains to try to work out how God, on the one hand, can elect a people unto eternal life, and yet, on the other hand, freely offer saving grace to men indiscriminately. He's not interested in giving philosophical answers. He's dealing with the subject as part of his defense of the righteousness and the faithfulness of God. Now, the importance of that should be clear to everybody. I hope it will become even clearer as we proceed. For the moment, all I want you to notice this, that Paul, and to him, the doctrine of God's sovereign electing grace is essential to three things. Now understand what I'm saying. According to Paul, you cannot be right on any of these three things unless you understand the truth of, not understand the workings of, but understand the truth of God's sovereign electing grace. It's essential to any faithful demonstration of the character of God. You cannot faithfully expound the God of the Bible unless you are willing to submit yourself to a total acceptance of the absolute sovereignty of His will, His choice, and His action. Second, it's essential to any full exposition of the gospel. Now, I'm very tempted to take off, but it would take me all night if I did it. I'd never get back to Romans 9, 1 through 5. And time is not my friend at the minute. I wish I had a year to go through Romans 9, but I don't, so I'm having to keep the pedal to the metal and keep going. But you know something? The further evangelists have got away from the old, rugged, Calvinistic presentation of the gospel, dealing with man in all his depravity, depriving the sinner of any hope in himself, leveling his pride in the dust, letting the law of God do its work of deep conviction and plowing deep furrows of sorrow into the heart of the sinner, and then showing Christ in His all-sufficiency and the glory of His merit and His finished work, and then commanding all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. The further evangelism has got away from that, the more Arminian it has become. Let me tell you, the more another gospel has been preached. What's masquerading as the gospel today is come to Jesus. You've got a great big aching void in your heart. You've tried drugs, but they don't work. You've hit the bottle, but it leaves you sadder than you were before. You've got a big aching void in your heart. God has a wonderful purpose for you, and you're not living it out. Oh, come to Jesus. That's not the gospel. Where did you ever read the like of that in the Bible? It's not the gospel. It's not even a first cousin of the gospel. The gospel is not you do this or that. The gospel is the story of what God has done in Jesus Christ to reconcile guilty, vile, rebellious sinners unto Himself. I remember years ago hearing a young woman on a radio interview. I don't know what religious outfit she was from, but she was able to predict this great revival. And if you take her definition of revival, it has taken place. And then she said about all these young people, and she was talking about hippies and people coming out of the drug culture, etc. All these people who'd be coming to faith. They're going to get into this Christian spirituality. And then she said, of course, it's not going to be anything like that old business that you're a sinner and God is angry with your sin and you're going to hell and you must be saved. It's none of that. Man, let me tell you, if it's none of that, it's not of God. That's the trouble. We have churches across America and across the world, and they are filling their pews and they're populating hell with the people who have been made the fools of a false gospel. Paul is saying clearly here, that this doctrine of the sovereign electing grace of God is essential not only to a faithful exposition or demonstration of His character, but also a full exposition of the gospel. And for us Christians, he's making it clear that it's essential to any fruitful application of the gospel to the lives of the people of God. Now, in the Bible notes I gave out some time ago, I gave a very simple outline of the three chapters of Romans 9, 10, and 11. I must confess there was a time I thought I would actually just preach this all in one message and prove to you that I could preach three chapters in one message. I could, but it would raise more questions than it answered. But I'm going to give you that outline tonight, and I trust you'll keep it in mind. Romans chapter 9. What is the one message that everything else expounds? The grace of God is sovereign in its ordination. That's what Paul is teaching. God's grace is sovereign in its ordination. Paul had no doubt about the absolute sovereignty of God. Now, what do you mean by the sovereignty of God? The word sovereignty means simply the right and the ability, the authority and the ability to rule. What does the sovereignty of God mean? Well, let me put it in very simple terms. And I want, if this shocks some of you, I want it to shock you. Because we need to be shocked into reality. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God we worship. He has the authority. And he backs it up with the ability. And he backs that up with the action. To do precisely what he wills to do, for no other reason than he wills to do it. That's sovereignty. God does what he wills for the simple reason that he wills to do it. And it is right because he is the one who does it. Remember what I've said from this pulpit 100 times. Never forget it. Anything God does is always worthy of himself. He cannot do anything that is unworthy of his own glorious person. This is his absolute sovereignty. And that's what Paul was preaching and defending. Thus, Paul had neither question nor complaint about God's right to choose out of the corrupted mass of humanity a people for himself according to his will. To the Apostle Paul, there could never be any ambiguity about the truth that the salvation of any man depends on God's will and not man's will. Do you follow that? And this is where the Bible runs contrary to so much of evangelicalism today. Evangelicalism generally teaches you that God wants to do a whole lot, but it's all up to the will of man. I've often quoted one English evangelist who was carried away with the passion of his own preaching. And I have to sympathize with him. I mean, he preached heresy, but I sympathize with him in this, that it is easy in the passion of the minute to get carried away, and sometimes your mouth runs away with you and you say things you'd later regret. But as he was preaching about all that God wanted to do and all that the will of man wouldn't let him do, he threw up his hands and he cried, "Poor God! Poor God! Poor idiot of a preacher. I don't serve a poor God. The Bible doesn't present poor little God. I want to tell you, the salvation of any man depends on the will of God. And here's the thing, if salvation is all of grace, then it is all of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.